Morning. The reading today is John 14, 15 to 21. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me, because I live. You also will live. On that day you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, that reading is from the night that Jesus was betrayed and arrested, the night before he was crucified. And it is while Jesus is in the upper room with his disciples, minus Judas, because by this point he had already left. But today is Pentecost Sunday. We celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit that was first poured out in a whole new way on Shavuot, which is a Jewish festival that celebrates the first fruits of the wheat harvest. And we read this in Acts chapter 2, which is summarized on the front of your newsletters. But Acts chapter 1 tells us how Jesus tells his disciples to stay in Jerusalem and to wait for the gift his Father has promised. For in a few days they will be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and then Jesus ascends into heaven to be with his Father. And so all of Jesus' disciples return to Jerusalem and wait. And they don't quite sit around twiddling their thumbs waiting for something to happen, because they do have business to attend to, because there is a vacancy in the 12. And it's here that Matthias is chosen to replace the deceased Judas. But apart from that, they are waking up each day and waiting. It's festival time, and so they would have had duties to do as part of that. But in their downtime together, they all think back to that night. They're going to jump around chronologically a little bit this morning, so if you were here for The Chosen on Wednesday night, or have seen other shows that do this, we're going to do this a little bit as we jump from Day of Pentecost, but also to the passage that Paul read for us, which happened about 7 or 8 weeks earlier. A few times Jesus had promised the Spirit to his followers, and today's reading is a powerful statement from Jesus, just as he is facing death. It's a wonderful Trinitarian statement. I, the Son, will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. Jesus is giving a farewell speech to his disciples, and it's a classic Jewish farewell rooted in the Old Testament. We think of times like Jacob's last words in Genesis 49, Moses' farewell in Deuteronomy chapters 31 to 34, but also Elijah in 2 Kings 2. The dying or departing one is surrounded by their closest friends and family. In farewells like these, there is concern for the comfort of those close friends and family left behind, but also an encouragement for them to continue walking in the ways of God. With Moses and Elijah, it says how they pass their spirit on to their followers or successors, which are Joshua and Elisha, respectively. And so you can imagine how the disciples are feeling during this farewell speech by Jesus. They have entered Jerusalem with Jesus for the last time, and Jesus is clearly speaking about his impending death. The disciples are facing profound shame, disillusionment, and fear. for their rabbi, their leader, is going to be killed. Peter's words show this in John chapter 13:36, where he asks in a worrying way, "Lord, where are you going?" Also Thomas in John 14:5, when he asks, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" And Philip's comment a few verses later, "Lord, show us the Father and that will be enough for us." And Jesus comforts his disciples by explaining what is going to happen, how the Spirit will arrive, and how they will flourish as his followers. Jesus says words like these, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth." And the word that we had in our Bible reading today, which is advocate, is paraclete in the original Greek language, which we'll put on the screen now. Now, the word paraclete is translated in many different ways in English translations of the Bible. The New Testament was written in Greek, and it's the everyday language of the common person in the first century of Rome. Now, there are some Greek words in the Bible that are not very common in other literature in the first century, and they're actually not quite common even in the Bible itself. And there are some words that are very common and straightforward when it comes to translating them into other languages, like English. But paraclete, up there, is a very rich word that we can't nail down to one exact English word for translation, because it's only in our Bibles a few times. The King James Version says comforter, which back then, 400 years ago, the word meant someone who strengthens. The New King James says helper. The RSV says counsellor, and today what Paul read in the NIV is advocate. And so Jesus says, "I will ask the Father, and he will send you another paraclete," or parakletos if we're going to be technical of what's up there for some who may know. But this word means one who comes to the aid of another, like a helper, which is in the New King James. But it also means that one who pleads the case of another, just like an advocate. But it also carries this meaning of counsellor and comforter. And so when we break down the words, you'll see the first four letters there, para, means alongsider. And klete, the rest of it, means to call, to help. And so in the first century, when the Gospel according to John was written, this word paraclete was used in the context of a law court for an advocate who would come alongside a person to speak in their defence and to provide counsel. Have you ever been in a situation when you needed someone to come alongside you, to advocate for you, to speak in your defence, to provide counsel? I know many times that I have. Because in 2023, for May Missions Month, our theme is alongsiders. Because the paraclete, this Pentecost Sunday, the paraclete is one who is alongside us. Jesus says, "I will ask the Father and he will send someone to be at your side and to help you and to be with you forever." The Spirit fills us but is also alongside us, saying, "I am with you. I'm right beside you. I'm going to walk with you through this. You are not alone. I am here for you and with you." And so as Jesus is saying this to his disciples, it's familiar because of this everyday use of the language at the time, of this advocate in a law court. But also they would have known that the one true living God is a God who answers our calls and prayers, who helps his people. Psalm 20, which is a psalm of petition and blessing, says this: "May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. Now this I know: the Lord gives victory to his anointed. He answers him from his heavenly sanctuary with the victorious power of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some trust in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God." Now, when the psalm was written, the temple was where the presence of God lived. And so it is essentially saying, may the presence of God that lives in the temple come and be with you and be help in your time of need. When we go back in the time machine to Acts chapter 2, we see that the presence of God that did live in the temple has now been unleashed and poured out on his people to come and be with them, alongside them, and to be the help that they need. We'll travel back a couple of years in time when in Luke chapter 11, Jesus is teaching on prayer, and this is where we read of a shorter version of the Lord's Prayer. And Jesus says from verse 11 of chapter 11, "Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Jesus is saying, remember those times I've been there for you, right beside you, helping you. Remember the storm on the Sea of Galilee. Another paraclete will come and do the same. All you have to do is ask, because your Father gives good gifts to you, his children. You don't have to put your hand up or anything, but is anyone here feeling pressure, anxiety, turmoil, uncertainty? Do you need some help? Do you feel that Jesus is absent or distant? Do your sufferings, sins, and failings weigh you down? Many times in my life, I'd needed someone right beside me to walk with me through something. There have been times when God has felt distant. And sometimes God sends people, actual humans, to walk with us and to be alongside us. But always God sends the paraclete. God himself in the Holy Spirit to be alongside us and within us. The good gift from our Father to us, his children. The Spirit is poured out on this day of Pentecost festival. Now it's 50 days since Passover, 50 days since Jesus risen from the dead. It's been 10 days since Jesus has ascended to the Father. And the disciples now have the Spirit in them and alongside them, empowering them to spread the good news of Jesus. They go from being confused, timid, scared and unsure, to confidently preaching the gospel of Jesus. Now Peter, of all people, who fairly recently denied even knowing Jesus, now stands up boldly and preaches a message about Jesus, who was sent from God to do miracles, wonders and signs, who was killed by wicked men by nailing him to the cross, but who was raised from the dead by God, and is now both Lord and Messiah. The response is for everyone to repent and to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We think back to John 14, which would have been going through the disciples' minds that morning. Jesus, the Son, asked the Father to give the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, who will help us and be with us forever, the Spirit of truth. Jesus is saying, I am setting you a hard task, and I am sending you on a mission that is very difficult. You cannot do it alone. You cannot do it by yourselves, no matter how great your number might be. That's why I am going to send the Paraclete, who will guide you in what to do and who will make you able to do it. The Holy Spirit will bring you truth and will make you able to cope with the battle for truth. The world who lives as if there is no God, who leave God out of their picture, will not accept the Spirit. But you know the Spirit, for he lives with you and he is in you. Tragedy is coming, but I will not leave you as orphans. I will come back soon and you will see me alive again. And because I live, you also will live. Then you will realize that I am in my Father and you are in me and I am in you. So if you love me, keep my commands. Remember, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another Paraclete to help you and to be with you forever. These words remain in the disciples' memories as they gather together on that morning of the day of Pentecost. It's been an emotional roller coaster for them these last 2 months. Jesus has been betrayed by one of their own. Jesus is killed. Then Jesus is somehow risen back from the dead 3 days later. He spends the next 40 days with his disciples, teaching them, proving to thousands of people that he is alive. It's the same Jesus, but at the same time, a different Jesus that can transcend time and space. And then he ascends into the sky with instructions to wait in Jerusalem. Jesus has come through with all his promises so far, but the disciples are still a little bit unsure and they are afraid of what is going to happen next. Like they've always done, they honour and celebrate the Jewish holidays. And so it's Pentecost season and they gather all together in one place. But then suddenly there comes from heaven a sound like a strong blowing wind. And it fills the whole house where they are sitting. Then tongues seemingly made of fire appear to them, moving apart and coming to rest on them, on each of them. They are all filled with the Holy Spirit, the promised Paraclete. And they begin to speak in different languages as the Spirit gives them the words to say. Now, because it is a festival time, there are devout Jews from every nation staying in Jerusalem. And so when they hear all this noise, they come together in a crowd. They are deeply puzzled because every single one of them can hear these simple Galileans speaking all these different languages that they recognize. They are astonished and amazed because in their own languages, they hear all about the powerful things that God has done. Fast forward a few years. In 2023, in Australia, in Hackham, we are also sent out by Jesus on mission, just like the disciples on that day of Pentecost in the years that followed. Like them, we also have the Holy Spirit in us and alongside us, helping us in our lives and helping us to share the gospel with others in ways that they can understand, so that they too are astonished and amazed. Think back to when you first became a Christian or heard the gospel. How astonished and amazed you were. And I'm sure you have been at times since as well. It can happen to others. It can happen to the people that we know, the people that we work with, live next door to, that we interact with. Because it is purely the work of the Holy Spirit in convicting people of their sin and realizing their need for a Saviour. Yet God invites us, of all people, to participate in His mission in the world as we are ambassadors of Christ. And we too can say, like Peter, the Spirit in us, saying these words, that Jesus lived among us. He was crucified and buried, but was resurrected and ascended. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Repent, turn around from the sinful lives you are living. Change your mind and ways. And follow Jesus Christ, the one true Lord and Messiah. Now, I will be the first to admit, and hopefully not the only one to admit this, but sharing our faith can be quite daunting at times. Often people will have well-researched and well-rehearsed comebacks and objections. But in John chapter 14 and surrounding passages in this farewell speech, Jesus knows that his disciples, those present in the upper room at that Last Supper on that night, and all those who will become his followers in the years to come, will face opposition. They will face trials in their own lives. They will have objections to the Christian faith thrown at them. But what Jesus promises us today and always is that the Holy Spirit will be alongside us and serve as a witness in the defense of Christianity. The Holy Spirit will come alongside us when we are feeling sorrowful, when we are troubled and afraid and attacked and suffering. God comes to us again and again, personally. He is with His church, who are sent out on mission. Again, I ask, and you don't need to admit, but is anyone here feeling any pressure, anxiety, turmoil, uncertainty? Do you need some help? Do you feel that Jesus is absent? Do your sufferings, sins, and shortcomings weigh you down? Do you need someone alongside you? We cannot brush these feelings aside. And if you're feeling some or even all of these this morning, remember that the good news is that Jesus has asked the Father, who has sent the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, to be alongside us. We are not alone. We have the Holy Spirit. So let us turn to Him. Let us rely on Him. Let us ask Him for help. Let us give thanks for Him. Let us be strong and courageous in the challenges of life, because we know that He is with us. Let us feel His presence alongside us now and forevermore. Let us love Jesus and keep His commands, for we have the Spirit helping us and with us forever. Thanks be to God. Amen.